sweet master, what must I do? The yoke was ugly, so tattered and torn. The other, a new one, had never been worn. I'll tell you the best thing
heaven. You know, these things you just don't know. Only God knows the heart of men, heart of man. My dad could play any instrument, guitar, violin, fiddle. Not only could he play it by ear, but he actually made them. He was a carpenter. That was his trade. He made me a guitar at one time. I tried my best. That guitar was bigger than I was. I was a little bit smaller than Rowan. You know, this is one of those acoustic guitars. He loved the Gibson guitars. Man, that thing swallowed me whole, but I get in, I was on top of old Smokey. I was way off tune. I was trying to read a chord. I didn't know what a chord was. But there's so many gifts and talents out there that without God, they're useless. They're in the devil's kingdom. And Dallas, you know, he loves country music. We was coming up here getting ready to mow the yard yesterday, and he was listening to some, you know, Merle Haggard passed away. He's one of a great legend of country music. He was playing some Randy Travis. There's some good country music gospel singers out there. You know, music was designed and created by God. He created an angel to worship with that music, but he decided to take it his own way and try to distort it. But God loves music, and he can use all kind of music. It's not the music that's the problem. It's what's the message in the music. That's the issue. And we just came up here this morning, yesterday, and he was playing a couple songs. I said, pull up Two Coats. Look up Two Coats by the Apostle soundtrack, because that was ringing in my spirit. Because I was thinking about that old man and the new man, the old coat and the new coat. Man, I used to wear that old coat. We were all sinners. We all were sinners at one time. And we're continuing on the series. We're going to pick it up. But talking about knowing and seeing the Lord. And I remind you of your keynote scripture. But John 14, 18 through 21, Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. That's a promise from God. I don't care what you're feeling right now. What does the Word say? Jesus is right there. You got to press through that stuff that we're not feeling sometimes and know that He is ever present right there with you. All the power you need is available to you. He says, I will come to you yet a little while, and the world sees me no more, but you see me. He's talking to His disciples. The Lord's talking to us here at this church because we're seeking Him. We're following Him. We're His disciples. You're going to see me again. You see me. Because I live, Jesus said, you live. And that day you shall know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, my words, and keepeth them, guard them, preserve them, honor them, do them. That he it is that loves me. That's how we prove our love to Jesus, is help those in need. Whatever you've seen me and the Father do, you do likewise. That proves our love. That proves we're a disciple. The Bible tells us, how will we know? We'll know them by the fruit, by the love. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. Not just in this church, in this time, in this hour, but in every second of our life, we can know that God is right there, Jesus is right there, the Holy Spirit is right there to manifest, make something come, be revealed. If there's pain in our body, for it to be removed because of the glory and goodness of God. Today's message, we're going to talk about Jesus, the Master. It might take a year or two to continue this series. We talk about Him being the Master. Let's go to John chapter 3. Let me shut this big old thing here. Still trying to get used to this legal paper. I've been illegal so long. Got to take off the old coat, put on the new. John chapter 3. Familiar scripture to us. Hang on, I'm going to read verses 1, John 3, 1 through 21. And I put on there to the end without commenting on it yet. Have to make myself notes. So I'll keep them, right? There was a man, say a man, of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. That man's important. I just don't say things to make you say it. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man, say man, he came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, which is to say master, teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered and said to him, for a truth, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born again when he's old? Can I go enter the second time into my mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and said, of a truth I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you can't tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said, are you a teacher of Israel, and you do not know these things? For surely I tell you, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. Jesus is talking about him and his disciples. Verse 12, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one, this is Jesus in red, this is the Master speaking right here. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, This is before the crucifixion. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name, say name,
name
of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved, God loved man, but men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that your hands may be clean and washed, that they may have been done in God. Now I get to go back and comment. Ain't y'all proud of me? I went straight through there. I made just a half of a comment on one right there. Added a few little words. It's hard. It's hard to hold back, you know. It's hard sometimes not just go ahead and comment on the word, because it's alive. The word's alive. And every time you read it, I see something different. You hear something different. And the same thing is working in you, that same power. When you start giving a testimony and you open up the word and start sharing something, it's empowered, brothers. God will do something magnificent to get somebody born again into the kingdom of God. I'm going to read John 3:2 again. Got to turn my page back. This man, Nicodemus, came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, Master, Teacher, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." The Master, talking about Jesus, Rabbi, the Master was not just a teacher from God. He was God in the flesh. The Word became flesh. See, Nicodemus was a man, and he's trying to see Jesus as a man. See, we're seeing and knowing Jesus as the Son of God. See, this is what this series is about, is seeing and knowing Jesus. Nicodemus couldn't see him. He couldn't understand him. He saw him as a man. Remember, Pilate said, "Behold, the man." But John saw something different. When John saw Jesus, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." That ain't the end of it. "Which taketh away the sins, for God so loved the world." See, John saw totally Jesus, totally different, in a different light. In a different light. We can see him. We have seen him. You've been born again. We've seen him as that light. But it can get brighter and brighter. He can manifest himself to us in a more glorious way. Amen? And that's what we're believing and expecting. Not just after this series is over. This is just an introduction into the next one. The next series. The next message. Lewis is coming up in a couple weeks. God's already got something on the inside of him, stirring it up. It's just going to complement. Because see, the Word, we're not here, we're not in competition against each other. The gifts, we're here to complement each other. The gifts complement each other, build each other, bring unity, bring healing, direction in our lives. Until we all come, the Bible says. Until we all come into the unity. That's what the Word is for. That's what the gifts are for. Till we all come into the unity. That means we're going to need the gifts for a long time, because we got a lot of unity, unison to get in order. Amen. Not everybody's going to get in on with the group and get in harmony. But we can still make a pretty good song with what we got. Just keep playing, right? Just keep playing the song. Keep preaching the word, teaching the word, and invoking the Holy Ghost to empower the word. See, because this is what's going to change things. It's not me bringing you the Word. It's you hearing the Word and then letting the Holy Ghost make it come alive to you, reveal things to you. I can't do that. The preacher can't do that. Only God can do that. Only God can take what I deliver to you, and by you working with the Holy Ghost, see, we're supposed to work with Him. He's working with us. He's not going to do the work. Jesus finished the work. Now the Holy Spirit is there to confirm the work. We got to believe the work, and He confirms it, and He manifests it. He says, done. Once you believe it, He says, it's finished, done. You see it. We see it, amen? Sometimes we don't see it right here. That bank and a check, that account, it ain't supposed to be in the red. It's supposed to be in the black because the word's in the red. You just got to keep speaking it and keep believing. You hold fast your profession of faith because it's changing. Things are changing that we can't see yet. God's preparing you to do something you didn't even think you could even do that's going to increase you in your finances. And then He's going to partner people with you in life. We'll bring you across those places. Amen. Master. The Master was not just a teacher sent from God. He was God in flesh. He is the great teacher. He's still teaching. He's using the church. He's teaching from heaven. He's teaching from the Father. He's sending it right through the Holy Spirit. We don't have to receive it by angels anymore. Y'all getting warm yet? Or y'all, Boots, how y'all feeling back here? Feeling okay? Okay. I got some good nods going on. I'm getting warm. I tell you, I had to get my sweater back on. It was cold. He is the great teacher. He is the wisdom of God, Jesus. Solomon received a lot of wisdom and wealth, but it does not compare to Jesus. He was the manifested wisdom of God. 24/7, He had the Spirit without measure. Solomon had a measure and still was richly blessed. What about us? Now, we're greater than Solomon. Jesus said there's a greater one than Solomon here. What do you see? There's a greater one than Solomon here. The Son of God in the flesh. The wisdom of God right there, whatever you need. At our disposal, and it's still here. We just got to ask. We got to seek. We got to keep knocking. He is the wisdom of God sent to the earth to save us from the wiles of the devil, the tricks and deception of the devil. That's the devil's only weapon is deception. Rowan could help me here now when we talk about transformers and the Decepticon. See, a Decepticon is a transformer that transforms into something you think is okay, but it's really not. They're deceiving you. It's actually your enemy deceiving you. That the devil comes as an angel of light, deceiving you, thinking that he is the truth. But Jesus said there's no truth in him. And the only way you're going to know it's the devil is to know that you have the truth. You have Jesus. You have him in you. And that's going to show that there's darkness there. Amen? Because Jesus is the light. He exposes darkness. In people, I mean, you can discern that through people, through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But also, we need to focus mainly on ourselves. Because the biggest battle is not the devil, and it's not people, it's me. It's me, oh Lord. It's me. Help me. But the devil is a big part. Because he wants to get your eyes on other people. You need to keep your eyes on yourself and the Word, and then just minister the Word, and God will take care of the other people. You'll be able to help them. Let's read John 3 through 11 again. I'll go through here quickly. Jesus answered and said to Nicodemus, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus said, "I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said you must be born again." Don't get caught there. Don't get stuck on that born again. "Because the wind blows where it wishes, and you can't hear the sound, and you can't tell where it comes or where it's going, so is everyone who is born of the Spirit." And then Nicodemus answered and said, "Well, how can these things be?" Jesus said to him, "Are you a teacher of Israel and do not know these things? I say to you, we speak what we know. We speak what we know, and we testify what we have seen. What we have seen, and you do not receive our witness." Now, I'm going to read you something in my Bible. It's called Kingdom Dynamics. I like that. If you need to take a note, take a note. will have this on the CD for you. Talking about the new birth. I believe everybody in this house is born again, but there's others out there that are not. There's people out there who don't even know what born again means because they're looking for man to save them instead of the Son of Man. And this is where we've got to help them. We've got to help them see Jesus, who he is. He's the King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. And he's coming again. He's coming quickly. We're to pray, Lord Jesus, come. Come quickly. When we want him to come, we want him to come quick because there's going to be all kind of destruction going on this earth. That's why it says, come quickly. That's kind of like a cry for help. Lord, come quickly. We need your help. Now, we got the Holy Ghost. We got things going on, but we need you. At that particular time, we said, Jesus, come quickly. And he's going to come. When the Father says go, he's gone. He says, go get my kids. It's time to go. That's it. In the end, it's filled up. Come, Lord Jesus. And we want to see him as Jesus. We don't want to see him as, not know him as Jesus when he comes. We don't want the wrath. There's people out there, that if they don't have Jesus, they got the wrath of God abides on them. And it's going to get worse. Kingdom dynamics, the new birth, the message of the kingdom. Upon repentance, a new order of life opens to the believer in Jesus Christ. New order. Jesus used the figure of new birth to dramatically indicate three things. If you're taking notes, one, without the new birth, there is no life and no relationship with God. That's what he's telling Nicodemus. You can't even see, Nicodemus, without you be born again. That means to be born from above. Number two, in the new birth, a new perspective comes as we see the kingdom of God. As we start to see the kingdom, our eyes become enlightened. The light bulb comes on. I see it. You've got to keep reading the word. You've got to know the king to experience the kingdom. Jesus is the king of the kingdom. You want to know some things, you've got to seek Jesus, the words of life. God's word comes as we're seeking and asking him. It becomes clear, clear to hear, clear to see. And the Holy Spirit's works and wonders are believed and we experience them. They're manifested in our life. Faith comes alive. The word in this book, something will jump out at you. It'll be alive. It'll be a quick word to you. A quick word. The word is a quickening. Makes things come alive. It can make women's wombs that have been deadened to come alive, like Sarah's womb, to where she can conceive. It gives her strength to conceive and bear children. If anybody's listening by radio, by internet, by CD, and you can't conceive, Jesus can make things, can make your womb come alive. He created man and woman. And he spoke life. He said, be fruitful and multiply. That's all the promise you need right there. Be fruitful and multiply. God said, light be. Light became. Jesus said, be fruitful. If you're not fruitful, be fruitful. Take God's word and be fruitful. Believe it. Thank him for it. Through the new birth, we are introduced, literally, we enter the kingdom. Through that new birth, we enter in heaven's gates. Open up all ye gates. The King of glory is coming in. He is the only begotten, the first begotten of the dead. But he is not dead. He's alive. And because he lives, we sang about it. We live. Amen. We enter in those gates. There's no key. I don't want to get ahead of myself. We enter in to a new realm, where God's new kingdom order can be realized. You know, there's coming a new world order here on the earth, man's order. It's going to be the number of the man. It's going to be 666. Don't get caught up in the, I used to, as a baby Christian, you know, you'd be like, oh, don't write 666 in front of me. Don't put that number in front of me. That's the mark of the beast. It's not the numbers that's the problem. It's the man. We're talking about the man. It's the man that's possessed of the devil. He's the problem. But Jesus whooped him. He whooped the devil. And now he gave those keys and authorities over to the church. So we're not to fear Satan and his devices. We're supposed to be wise about his devices. Beware. Be cunning. Be ready. Be prepared. Have an armor always on. and with prayers and supplications, always praying in the Spirit, keeping ourselves built up on our most holy faith. The new birth is more than simply being saved. Just being saved. Just going to church. It's more than that. Man, it's more than that. So much more. It is a re-qualifying experience. Opening up the possibilities of our whole being to the supernatural. Seeing what Jesus saw. Knowing what Jesus knew as a man. As a man, God-man in the earth. Having the eyes of the Spirit. This is what being born again does. It takes you, it translates you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, Jesus Christ. A whole nother supernatural dimension of life and fitting is fitting us for a beginning in God's kingdom order. We're just getting fitted. Once we got born again, we just put in that, we took off that old coat, now we got on a new. And when you put on something new, it takes a little bit of while to get it broke in a little bit. It takes a little while to break in those new shoes. You got to walk a little bit. Walk a little bit. Dance a little bit. Amen? To break them in, get them where they feel just right. Man, that feels right now. See, that's what we got to work. We continue to work with the Holy Ghost. I'm learning. And I'm new at this. As far as pastoring and leading and doing all these things. But I'm not by myself. And I say, Lord, I can't do this. And He helps me. And He sends men and women like you to come along beside each other. And we help each other. Like a rowing back there. He's been watching, but now he got a time to where I needed him to step on that first base, step up to home plate, strike him, get ready to hit that thing. I need some help. Daddy needs some help. Need to push a couple buttons back here. That's the ministry of helps. God's going to bless him in ways that Daddy can't. See, I can only go so far. But God, He is limitless. Limitless in His ability and His grace. Amen. A man can only help you so far. 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians says it this way. If any man be in Christ, that's the anointed one. That's the Messiah. That's His anointing. Anyone, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. It's not the man anymore. I'm Superman. I'm God's Superman. I can wear the cape. It's not an S, it's a J. Jesus. Messiah. Superman. You're a Superman. Superwoman. Just like the video we watched, it said, I tell you the best thing I ever did do is I put off that old coat and put on the new. See, that's the best thing a Christian, that's the best thing we can ever do. Best thing. And that's how seeing and knowing the Lord is what we thought was God and it wasn't. Sometimes we'll get into error sometimes and we'll see the Holy Spirit will reveal something to you and say, no, you're a little bit off there. Okay, I put off that old coat. Show me something new. See, be expecting God to show you something new in His Word. It might be a little bit off of what you, if it wasn't quite there, His Word will reveal it to you. Be ready to experience something new. Not nothing new that it's not in the book, but something new you don't know yet. See, if you don't know something, it's just because you just don't know it. That makes it new to you. And there's all kind of things I don't know yet. I don't claim to know it all. But I want to know more of the Lord. I want to see Him more and know Him more so that He can manifest and reveal and restore and replenish. We must continue to fill ourselves up with the Word of God. Fill it up. Don't stop there. Come on, somebody help me. Overflow. Filling it up ain't enough. God likes overflow. He likes things to flow over to somebody else. You got your needs met. Now flow on over and help somebody else. So the world wants you to be poor. Religion wants you to be poor. That keeps you humble when you're poor. No, that keeps you stupid and broke. Prosperity keeps you blessed. Jesus became poor. If you're saying poverty is from God, then you're saying Jesus is not enough. Because Jesus became poor. He took your poverty so you could have His riches, His righteousness. He took off His robe of royalty and laid it down and picked up your robe of filthy sin rags and poverty and gave you his robe of righteousness. So you can stand before the Father and say, Lord, you gave us the earth and the fullness thereof. Now, devil, it's not yours. God gave it to mankind, not to the devils. You had your jurisdiction. Now get out of mine. You know, a sheriff department can only go so far. If he gets out of his jurisdiction, he's got to call in the state trooper. We call Jesus. Devil, you're out of your jurisdiction. I call Jesus. I go to the high court. That's the Supreme Court. Jesus said, and I'm saying, get out of here. Amen? He tell the devil, shut up and come out. That's all you need to know. You don't have to go and learn all this exorcism stuff. You know, there's priests out there that are exorcists. No, I'm not an exorcist. I'm a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in the kingdom of heaven. Devil, get out in Jesus' name. That's all you need to know about devils, casting out devils. You need to know Jesus and authority do you have, but you don't need to know all these different things because he wants to, well, you didn't say it right or you didn't pray enough. No, Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane all night, devil. He prayed all night. And he said, my faith would fail not. That's what he told Peter, and I'm a disciple just like Peter. Amen? He said, Peter, I pray that your faith's going to fail not, and when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you're going to strengthen your brethren. We have that same promise. When we're weak, I'm going to put my anointing that's on the inside of you. It's going to come upon you, overflow you, and you're going to be strong. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. See, God is not pouring out his spirit anymore. It's already been poured out. But we're going to wear it. We've got to wear that robe and keep it on and be continually filled. That doesn't mean God has to pour it out again. No, it means we need to stay in the water. Amen. Get in that water. Don't just get in the water. Go under the water. Amen. There's some things you can't see on top of the water. You got to go under. Some things under the water you can't see unless you get under. Amen. That's another message another day. But if we stay, we got to continue to fill ourselves up with the Word of God and know that no matter how things may look or feel in the natural, I'm not the same person. I'm not just a man. I used to be. You're not the woman you used to be. If you've been born again, born from above, you're different. We must not look to this world or the things in this world to determine who I am, my identity. I don't look to Hollywood. I don't look to the stars in Hollywood. I look to the stars in heaven like Abraham and said, this is where my help comes from. It comes from here. It comes from God Almighty. This world is not your home. Said it before, don't get used to it. Don't let it cling to you. We do not fit in its mold. You don't fit. You're a piece of the puzzle in this world that doesn't fit. In this world. See, Satan, he's the little G. He's the little god of this world right now, and we don't fit in his world. This earth is under a curse. Ever since high treason in the garden, it's cursed. That's why you see volcanoes erupting, lava. From the inside out, it's cursed. It's getting old. It's groaning, it's moaning, it's waiting for its redemption too. It can't be redeemed, it's got to be made new. Jesus, God's got to destroy this earth. The earth, he didn't say the people. Those that are of his kingdom, he's not going to destroy. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. We are in Christ Jesus, we are his word. We are his word, we're his people. We can't be destroyed. We're in his kingdom, and we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's our promise. Been sealed into the kingdom of God. That when this earth passes away, we'll never pass away. We've got everlasting life. Promises of Jesus. So when things are looking bad, look up. But you don't look up here with these eyes. You look in here with the eyes of the Spirit. See, the man looks up, but the born-again man looks in. He looks in. He looks inside. Not with natural eyes, because this earth is cursed. It's not the same as when the Lord first created the earth. Neither are we. Once you get born again, you ain't the same. You've been changed. Now, the shell of the man is looking a lot like the earth. We're getting older. Things are changing out here. But don't look in that mirror. Don't look at, turn the light off if you have to. Because this is our mirror we've got to look to now. Though the outward man is perishing, y'all help me now, the inward man is renewed day by day. Day by day. Hey, we're going to battle this. Jesus, he's not going to, when he said, it better a man if you're sinning, pluck out your eye. He wasn't saying pluck out your eye. He was just saying, get that sin out of your life. It's better that you go into heaven with one eye than suffer and go to hell with two eyes. But what I'm saying is, he's not going to pluck out you. You got to look at some things. But look past the natural. We got to look past the natural. This earth is not the same as passing away. It's different. And it's not the same. Jesus, our Master, has bought us and brought us. He bought us, but that ain't the end of it. And he brought us. See, he bought us with his blood. He died, but that wasn't the end. He rose. He brought us with him. See, we wasn't even born again yet, our generation. But he is the Word. We were in him in the beginning. He brought us back into his kingdom by the shedding of his precious blood. We need to see him and honor him as the Master and allow him total access, just Jesus. See, your wife don't even get total access. Your husband don't even get. Jesus has got to have total access. See, there's some things a husband and wife, I ain't saying we can't, but some things you probably just can't share with them that you can share with Jesus. There might be something there that's just real personal to you. Amen? That you can share with Jesus. We need to take it. We need to be an open vessel to him. Whatever we need. And sometimes we might even discern there's something in there with my mate that I've got to go to the Lord and say, Lord, I feel there's something personal there. And I need to pray for her, pray for him. And then if it needs to come out, yeah, fine. But there's deep things in each one of us that we know, if we be honest with the Lord, that we can't even share with our mate. But with the Lord's help, if we need to, he'll give you that strength to do that. I'm not saying if it's something that needs to be counseled, it needs to be, but there's some things we just got to take to the Lord and lay it at his feet. Lay it at his feet. The Master, and allow him total access into every area of our lives. If he is truly your Master, that will leave no room for disaster. No room for this disaster in the world. If he's your Master. Amen. Matthew 7:21 in red, the Master speaking here. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, Master, Master, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father is the one that's going to come in. What's this whole series talking about? Those that honor me honor my Father. Those that love me, Jesus said, you will keep my words. There's some that's saying, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out devils in your name. Jesus is going to say, depart from me, workers of iniquity. He says, I never knew you. You didn't do that in my name. You did it in your name. Proclaiming my name. And it was a disaster is really what it was. Because if you don't do it in Jesus, it's going to end up being a disaster. If you try to take it in the name of God, not serving him, it's going to be a disaster. And we see it. You can see it. I'm not going to mention churches, but you can see it in churches' laity. Saying to do these things in the name of the Lord, but then you look and you see their background. You see lawsuits been charged against them for doing all kind of things in the church. Not good. That's being exposed. That's the light coming in and exposing that darkness. But they've been saying they've been doing it in the name of God. And then the church tries to cover it up. You can't do that. God don't cover things up. He exposes it and wants you to repent. And Jesus said in Revelation, says, repent or I'm going to come quickly and then you will be judged. We don't want God's judgment. We want his grace. Because judgment comes from the devil. If you think about it, he's saying, I'm going to have to come judge. That means the devil is going to come in judgment days there. See, our punishment and wrath has been poured out on Jesus. But that doesn't give us a license to sin. It gives us a license from sin. But then you start practicing sin, then you open yourself up to the wicked one. And Jesus said, the wicked one, if we stay in him, he can't touch you. But I can step out of Jesus. I can step out of that boat and get out here and act stupid, more holier than thou, and I can, I'm live target for the devil. We got to stay in Christ, in that anointed one, underneath the shadow of the Almighty, and just stay honorable before him. Amen. Because God, he says, you reap what you sow. You can't, don't say that you call me Lord, Lord, and you're not doing the things I tell you to do. First thing he says is, submit yourselves to God. Submit to the work of God, to the call of God, to the church of God. And you need to be underneath the pastor, underneath the order of God. We can't leave no room. Jesus has got to have total access. He is the master. He is my master. And this is just kind of, I think it's be a good time just to chuckle you a little bit. Dallas is, I always get to talk about him, but he's never here. But he is always a lot of times a part of the messages. But Larry knows this because we was using Little Blue last week up here mowing the yard. Little Blue is a lawnmower. It goes 360. You can turn that thing this way, and it'll just turn on a dime, either way you want to go. But it's a little bit older than the newer mowers. It's chain-driven instead of hydraulics. So it's a little bit choppy, you know. But we were getting ready to leave the house, and I call her Old Red. Old Red's Troy built that we usually bring up here and mow. Dallas said, I want to take Blue today. I want to drive Blue today. I'm like, Dallas, let's take Red. I said, you know, I'm still working with Blue. I'm still getting to know Blue. I don't know Blue as much as I know Troy built, how to work on them if they break. So I haven't got a deep relationship with the Master Blue, but I know Master Red a little bit better. Okay? But I let him have his way. He's the one mowing. He's on the mower. So we get up here in about 15 minutes. I see him up there, and he's going around in circles. I'm like, what's he doing? He's on the mower, but he's going around in circles, and he ain't doing nothing. So I get up there, and what's happened? He broke the chain. So that thing's got chains on it. You got the right chain, you got a left chain. Well, if the right chain breaks, all you do is go around in a circle. And I get out there, I'm like, I don't know anything about this lawnmower. I don't know how to fix this one. So what did he have to do? He had to get the push mower. And he had to exercise all those muscles he's been building up. He had to push. See, he didn't allow Jesus total access that day. Because if he had been in commune with the master, he would have said, listen to Dad and take Red today. Take Red today. See, well, now I've got Blue fixed. I've got a master link. See, the master link of the chain was gone. See, without the master, there's disaster waiting. But see, if you got the master link, if you got the master in your life, things ain't spinning out of chaos in your life. But if you don't have him, you're looking for a day, things are going to break, and you're going to be going around that mountain again, around that mountain again, like the children of Israel. How many times, how many years are we going to be out here and say, Lord, Lord, we did what you said. No, you didn't. Because if you did, you'd be in the promised land. Yeah. Instead of stuck out here in the wilderness blaming me for all this. Yeah. When it ain't our fault. It ain't his fault, it's our fault. Yeah. I got two master links. I got a spare now for Blue. But see, Blue ain't made like Red. Blue, you got to be gentle with Blue. You got to turn Blue easy. See, but that ain't teenagers. They're fast. They're doing the next thing while they're on that thing. You know, they're into the next thing. You got to slow down with the things of the Lord. Don't think we know it all. I know that, Lord. Lord, I got that. He tell you something. I got that, Lord. What's the next thing? No, you need to go back and do the first thing. Because you ain't even seen half of what he needs to show you on that yet. But we're out ready for the next thing. We're not ready for that yet. And I'm going to close with this. Now, I'm not looking to go out here and start a restaurant or anything. I do have desire do a little business. If the Lord wanted me to open up a little business with my wife, that'd be fine. I'm talking about still just out in the world, but this is my business. I'm about Father's business right here doing this. But I was thinking about a restaurant. I was thinking about Jesus being master of my life and master of all. Well, my wife, she loves to watch these master chefs get on here and have all these cook-offs. Well, I'd like to see it show up in my house. You know, watching is something, but watching and doing it is better. You know, if you want to spend all that time watching all these master chefs, well, show me something. Show me something here. I mean, now, she's a good cook. She's been working a lot lately, but, you know, show me something. Ruthie, she had the prom last night, and her young gentleman, Jay, we first met their family, and they treated us, man, it was like the master chef. He had us read. It was awesome. They just bought a new house on the lake, invited us over. So for the prom, we went to their house, and they had us, took pictures for hours. No. But they had us a meal prepared. Started off with the salad, bread, dressing. Then we went into the main course. I can't even pronounce. It was called chicken something. It was master chicken. It was nice. It had chicken, and it was on its plate all by itself, the mashed potato, and it had melted cheese, and it was good. I'd call it chicken a la mode. It was good. And then, that ain't it. We finished that, and then they bring out another plate. We got Snickers a la mode. I mean, ice cream. Man, and I was like, that was awesome. Man, that was a special treat. But this, Jay's husband, Jay's dad, he knows how to cook. Because he did all the cooking. He did all that. His wife helped him. But, man, that was awesome. And I got to think about restaurant. Now, think of this. This would be my favorite restaurant. The name of it would be Yahweh's House of Bread. Now, wait a minute now before I get there. I want you to think of your favorite restaurant. Would you rather have a chef cooking your favorite entree, or would you rather have the master chef preparing one of his masterpieces for you? See, I think I like chicken. I think I know how chicken ought to be. But then you turn it over to the master chef who's been cooking for all kind of kings and royalties, preparing chicken. You thought you knew chicken. You don't know chicken until you eat it from a master chef. If I owned a restaurant, I'd name it Yahweh's House of Bread. This would be a little example, because I'm still working on the menu. This would be a little example of what you could find on my menu when you come in. My beverages, you wouldn't have but two beverages, and there might be some more out there. I'm still seeking and searching for the Lord. Sunny Delight, orange juice with the O, not the U. Sunny Delight, and then Living Water is your beverages. That's two choices you got, Sunny Delight or Living Water. Or you can have both. I'll let you have both. Our appetizers, hot out of the oven, Bread of Life, with your choice of a fresh Garden of Eden salad. Like that? Man, every tree in the garden that you could think of don't have no pesticides, none of that stuff on sprayed on it. It's just fresh Garden of Eden salad. And it would have those real nice croutons that we usually get at that one, Ruby Tuesdays. They melt in your mouth, croutons. Warm. Oh, man, they're beautiful. Nice croutons. I was thinking about a Caesar salad, but I'm like, no, I didn't like Caesar. He didn't treat Jesus good. I don't like that Caesar salad. Kick that out. And our main course, still looking on this, because Jesus loved fish, it'd be fried or baked tilapia. That's healthy, right? Baked. I like fried too, so do a little bit of fried every so often. With sweet potato fries. I like them sweet potato fries. And dessert, y'all help me. Y'all know what one of my desserts would be. Come on now. Manna pudding. Leave out the bananas. We substituting the bananas for manna. What is it? What is it? Manna pudding. It's bread from heaven. It's angels' food. There's another one, angel food cake. We could have some angel food cake with strawberries, blueberries on the side. And one more dessert. They call it figgy pudding. You ever heard of figgy pudding? Figgy pudding. F-I-G-G-I-E. Some of y'all can read. You can try that dessert there one time. Figgy pudding. What do you think? Think we can make it in the mainstream? We wouldn't entice everybody's appetite, but we'd get some. We'd get some. And we'd have some good fellowship. Amen? We'd have some good music playing. It'd be a nice atmosphere. Rowan, you can stop the recording there.